T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We need your help. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
We're right back to it. The 21st annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Tote board now showing $1,488,077. And we want to keep those phones busy here. We're with you up until midnight. And we are so thrilled to be joined for the second straight year by another cancer survivor, one of the great umpires in the game, our good friend Phil Cuzzi. Happy birthday, Phil. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, perfect timing, right? Very good. Always nice to talk to you, Joe, and always nice to support the Jimmy Fund.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. We're here with my broadcast partner, Will Fleming, and you had the you had a 10-inning game, but was it the night off working at third base?
There's never a night off, Joe. You know that. Never a night off.
You know. You guys work so hard.
Plays will have a way of finding you no matter where you are on the field.
Yeah, you had some memorable games in Red Sox history. I remember one when there was a big brawl at Tampa Bay. That was in 2000?
That was also on my birthday.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah.
Now,
because
Pedro hit.
Thinking,
was that Pedro hitting?
Pedro was pitching.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I forget who the first person that he hit, but I remember thinking the night before, oh, I hear Pedro's pitching tomorrow. I said, well, what a nice birthday gift. I get Pedro behind the plate. He should be throwing strikes, and it should be a good game. And he was throwing strikes. It was just at the back of somebody's head, back of somebody's rear end.
But, I think it was Gerald Williams, Ice Williams.
Yes, it was. I think that was the first person that he hit. I think he hit him in the wrist, if I remember right. And Gerald kind of looked at him and thought about it, and then boom, before he took a few steps to first, and then he took off for Pedro. And it was lights out after that. I don't remember the total number, but we had quite a few rejections that day.
I think it was 7. Yeah. And the Red Sox had two guys hurt in that melee. Usually, you know, they don't amount to much, but Brian Daubach got pinned in the bottom of a pile, and somebody was pummeling him, and his batting average suffered. He lost about 80 points in the final month because he was playing hurt. And did Lou Maloney get hurt,
too? Yeah, he
got
concussed and had a big shoulder injury there. Phil, our fans obviously revere Pedro, and I think a lot of us would go back in a time machine and watch him pitch. It was such theater, and he was such a showman and truly one of the all-time greats. You have had a view of him that literally almost no one walking the earth has had. What was it like to crouch behind home plate and watch Pedro when he was at his best?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a thrill because you knew that he was going to, you know, pitch a good ball game, and you knew that he was going to be throwing strikes. And, you know, and as a plate umpire, that's all you want to happen. You want him to be around the plate throwing strikes, because if he's throwing strikes, they're swinging the bat. And, you know, when we come out and have a game where the pitcher just can't seem to find the plate, there's no rhythm to the game. The pitch clock has created more rhythm in the game than we've had in years. But the pitcher still has to be around the plate for the hitter to swing. And that creates rhythm. And rhythm makes for an exciting game. And I know as umpires, we just want to see rhythm in the game. And Pedro provided that.
Yeah, that's certainly a great point. And, you know, the pitch clock means more responsibility for the home plate umpire, but you love it anyway?
yeah, it's much more work for us, but it truly is worth it. And, you know, I always said, long before the pitch clock, that I'm surprised that pitching coaches don't tell their pitcher, just get on the mound and throw. Yeah. Because if you just get the ball and throw and don't walk around, and you're not giving your defense behind you a chance to daydream or to drift off. And the pitch clock, you know, has really created that. And at first, you know, I consider myself a purist of the game. And at first I thought the pitch clock, I said, you know, baseball never had a clock. The beauty of baseball was that there was no clock. And then when they put in the pitch clock, we said, okay, how's this going to go? And then coupled with the taking away the shift, I said, you know, as a purist, this has made the game more like I remember it as a kid, because the pitcher, you know, he gets the ball, he throws with nobody on base 15 seconds by the time the catcher throws him back the ball. So it really, to me, has brought the game back to more pure, even though we had to use, you know, we had to substitute different ways in order to achieve that, the pitch clock, doing away with the shift. You know, you see a guy hit a bullet up the middle last year, and there's a guy standing there waiting for it, you know. Now the game is, to me, more pure the way it used to be, as I remember it as a kid.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's refreshing to hear you say that, because we all love the pitch clock. It just, as you say, adds rhythm to the game. Phil, before we get to your battle with cancer, your successful battle, your battle to get back in the big leagues, I mean, what a story of perseverance showing how much you love the game. You were working a AAA and as a fill-in major league umpire, and there were no jobs, so you were let go in 1993?
After expansion of Colorado and Florida, I thought that I might have gotten one of those jobs, because I think there was going to be seven. And then when I wasn't, then the following year I was let go, and it was devastating. And it was just, you know, I said I just didn't feel like I was ready to go. And, you know, I mean, guys get released every year, and they kind of just fade away, and some guys have different feelings about it, and they say, well, you know, I'm going to do something else now. And I never had that in my mind. I said, I'm going to do whatever I can to get back into the game. And it took me 3 years, but I did. And wait, it was certainly worth the wait.
You were working at a hotel, and you had a chance meeting with Len Coleman, then the National League president?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I look at it as divine intervention, because, you know, the union was trying to help me to get back, but there were so many things along those 3 years. There was a player strike. There was an umpire strike. And, you know, my situation wasn't even on the back burner. It wasn't on the stove at all. And so, you know, one day I said, you know what, I'm just going to – there's a new league president coming in, and was Len Coleman. And I said, I'm just going to write Len Coleman a letter, and I'm just going to explain my situation, and I'm going to just tell him that, you know, I've been to umpire school four times, and I said, I'll go back a fifth time if he wants me to, but I just want to get back into the game. And I wrote this letter. It took a weekend, and I wrote the letter. And when I went to work on that Monday, my sister, the reason I brought the letter was because my sister was working at the hotel. And I said, I'm going to have my sister proofread it, just to make sure that there's no spelling errors, grammatical errors. And just as luck would have it, the day I brought the letter in my pocket for my sister to read, Len Coleman was checking into the hotel. And I would not have had it in my pocket if not for that. I was just going to bring it there for my sister to see. And that was the year that the Phillies had the All-Star game. And he was at the All-Star game, and he was hosting, I believe it was the Japanese league president and his contingency. And they were staying at the hotel, just as fate would have it. And because after I wrote the letter, I'm saying, well, I can't just mail it to his office in New York. He'll never get it. He'll never read it. I said, I don't know where he lives, but I guess I can find out where he lives. I can wait in his driveway, and when he gets out of the car, I can hand it to him. And here we go. He's checking into the hotel. And I waited for him, and I knocked on his door, and he was in the shower, and He said, "Yeah, what is it?" I said, "My vision was I was going to knock on the door. He's going to open the door. I'm going to hand him a letter." Well, I knock on the door, and he wasn't going to open it because he was in the shower. I heard the water running, and then he said, "What is it?" I said, "I had to pull an audible because I wasn't expecting that." And I said, "Mr. Coleman, I have a letter for you here." He says, "A letter? Just slip it under the door." And I said, "Well, if you don't mind, I really need to hand deliver this." And he later told me that he thought I was a bellman just wanting to get a tip, and I wouldn't have gotten a tip if I just slipped it under the door.
But you had to go all the way back to the low minors?
Yes. He read the letter. I slipped it under the door because when I went back, I heard him snoring. He was sleeping. So I called down to the front desk, and I said, "Does Mr. Coleman have a wake-up call?" "Yes, he does. He has a wake-up call at 6:30. I said, "Okay, 6:30. I was back in front of his door, and I waited for him to open the door. And he opened the door, and there he was. And he knew who I was, but he never saw me before. And he had a big smile on his face when he saw me. And I said, "Good morning, Mr. Coleman." He said, "Good morning." I said, "Mr. Coleman, pardon the ambush, but I'm Phil Cuzzy." And his smile dropped off his face. He thought I was stalking him. And I said, "If you get a chance to read my letter," and long story short, he said, "I will get back to you about this." And I thought he was just being nice. And he gave me every opportunity to plead my case and to speak to him. And I left him that morning with a peace because I said, "There is nothing more I can do. I had this opportunity, and wherever it goes." And he told me that he would call me after the season was over. And I thought he was just being nice. And lo and behold, he did call me. And right after the World Series that year, and he said, "Listen, I'm going against the advice of the attorneys, but I think it's a feel-good story, and I'm going to do it. However," he said, "you're going to have to go back to umpire. You're going to have to go, not to umpire school, but I had to go back to the evaluation course, which the successful graduates go to out of umpire school." And then he said, "Then you have to go into A ball for a year, double A for a year, triple A for a year." I'm 40 years old at the time. And he said, "No guarantees, except that I guarantee that you'll get a fair shot." I said, "I'll take it." And it worked out, and here I am. This is year 25.
And still umpiring at 69 today, huh? Amazing.
68. Come on, Joe. Don't push me.
Come on.
Don't push my older.
I added wrong. 19. Yeah, I saw that, right. 1955. Yeah. But So you get back to the big leagues, and then I don't know how many years after, but not too long ago, you were diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Yes, in 16. And it was only because, 2016, because of our annual physicals with MLB. And we go out to Phoenix for that every January. And we have our meetings and we have our physicals. And they take blood work. And all of a sudden, you know, if there's anything high, you know, off with your blood work, then you see the doctor. And, you know, so they'll notify you if you need to see the doctor. And some guys, it may be high cholesterol, and they might see the doctor and a dietitian or whatever. So I see the doctor, and I thought maybe it might have been cholesterol because I kind of flirted with borderline cholesterol. And he said, "Did you eat before you gave blood?" I said, "No, I fasted." He said, "Okay, I don't want you to panic." He said, "But your PSA," I didn't even know what a PSA was, but the PSA is the marker for prostate cancer, and it should be zero. And I didn't realize that in the past 3 years, it was 2.5, and then it went up to 3.5, and then this year, in 16, it was 4.5. And he said, "You know, it doesn't mean that it's cancer, but, you know, you really should go see an oncologist." And I did, and sure enough, it did turn out to be cancer, but it was only because, and it is a slow-growing cancer, but it was only because I had a blood test, and a simple blood test, and that's what it showed. And then there were many, you know, you have many options, depending upon where it is, how much it is, and at first, you know, with the MRI that I had, doctor said, "I see one little lesion in your prostate. The prostate's the size of a walnut." And he said, "I see one little lesion." He said, "To be honest with you, my experience tells me that that it's prostate cancer. So I said, okay. He said, well, you know, we're going to do a biopsy. And they did a biopsy, and he said, you know, in the old days, meaning 6 months ago, we would just take random shots in the prostate, and now we can zero right in on that lesion. And long story short, I had a few different spots in the prostate, and a couple of them were approaching the wall of the prostate. If it breaks through the prostate, you know, then it's a completely different situation that you're in. Like Joe Torre had it, and his broke through, and so he, you know, he had to get follow up treatment. Because mine was all contained in the prostate, my best option was to have it removed. I did, and I only missed like 2 weeks of work.
Really?
Had it done during the vacation week, and you know, the doctor, so I said, Doc, how long do you think it's going to keep me down? And he said, well, if you work behind a desk, I would say you can go back to work in a week. He said, with your job, I'm going to let your body dictate when you can go back. So I missed about 2 weeks. But the thing was, it was a simple procedure. And, I mean, nothing is simple when you hear cancer, right? But for me, it turned out to be an easy procedure. My life was saved because of a simple blood test. And I have no residual effects. And I stress to everybody I come in contact with, all my colleagues, the umpires, they, you know, like I said, I didn't know what a PSA was. When I say to a guy, you know, who's maybe 50, hey, you're going for a physical, did you get a PSA? He said, I don't know. What is a PSA? And so it's really just, you know, trying to educate guys about it. And, you know, the same number of, I think it's like 1 in 7 guys will have prostate cancer, the same as women with breast cancer. And they say that most men will die with prostate cancer, not because of prostate cancer. But if you don't know you have it, and if it breaks through, it could be deadly, certainly.
Well, Phil, that's a great story of perseverance, and you show your love for baseball by coming back to work so quickly after that, and what you did to get back into the game with your relationship with Len Coleman is just a marvelous story. And it's great to see somebody who loves what they do as much as you do. It's a tough job.
You know, it's they say. You know, why would you fight so hard to get a job where nobody likes you? He said, well, you know, the funny thing, that, don't ask me how or why it happened, but tonight, there was a group of teens, I was working third base at the plate last night, and there's a group of teenagers, maybe 5 or 6 teenagers sitting on the third base line. How they knew it was my birthday, I still don't know. I don't think they announced it here. I didn't see it announced here. And they started singing happy birthday to me. I never had that before at a stadium. I had these teenagers singing happy birthday to me during the game.
That's better than what you usually hear, Phil.
Oh, I usually hear a lot worse than that, I can't say.
Well, Phil, it's a wonderful story, and I know it's very inspiring, and I think it's something that the guys have to check. You know, as Dusty Baker told us, he's a prostate cancer survivor. You know, women generally have breast imaging and for breast cancer, and guys are not quite as dedicated in getting tested with a blood test as you have pointed out, and it's certainly critical.
Yeah. You know, I also give credit to baseball and my job, because if I had, I don't know what I would be doing, you know, if I wasn't, I started as a school teacher, but you know, it was only because of an annual physical. And if I didn't have a job where I had the great insurance that we do, I don't know if I would have went to a doctor every year, you know? So, you know, because of my position, I thank God that we have the insurance that we do, and we have the healthcare that we do. And if not for that, I might've been in a completely different ballgame.
Well, Phil, we really appreciate you sharing your wonderful story with us, and we really admire your love of baseball. I hope we see you back in Boston or on the road before the end of the season.
We come back with the White Sox in September. So I will look for you then.
Very good. We'll try to have some tag and treats for you,
That's
too.
It.
Okay. Listen, you got a lot to do. There's a cop in St. Louis. He brings me cannolis every time I come into St. Louis here. So
we'll go to Modern Pastry anyway. In the North End or Mike's. And
we'll take care of you, Phil. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you, and good luck with the Jimmy Fund.
Okay, well, good health to you, Phil Cuzzi. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.